This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Daryl Hall and John Oates are one of pop music's most known and famous duos. They had number one hits like Rich Girl and Out of Touch, and of course, Man Eater. And of course, they still receive high rotation airplay on many gold-programmed radio stations across the world. But not all is as it seems, with Hall filing a lawsuit against Oates in Nashville. The question is, why?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, but do you like a bit of Hall & Oates in your earbuds?
I wouldn't choose to listen to them, but preparing for today's segment, I did fall into a bit of a wormhole, and the video clips are captivating. There is such a time capsule of late 70s, early 80s cheesiness. So I didn't dislike watching. I wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be something I'd pick, but there's certainly songs that you can still sing all the words to, even though they came out before I was born.
Do you reckon something like Man Eater, which we just heard, would be something that would be accepted today as a release?
Didn't Nelly Furtado have a song called
Man Eater? Oh, she did too, yes.
Yeah. So, maybe I mean, that's still probably, well, that's probably 20 years ago though. So, whether today or not, look, I don't know. Perhaps, I guess it would have to be a bit more ironic than I suspect they were singing in 1982 when Man Eater came out. But yeah, I think, you know, pretty much anything goes today. It's whether or not the audience wants to listen to it. And I just don't think we'd have the same sort of, I mean, Man Eater is what, 41 years old now.
Now I feel
whether
old.
We'll have songs that last that long and still getting airplay in 40 years time now, not sure.
When did things first start to go wrong between Hall and Oates? Do we have any idea?
Yeah, so depending on who you talk to, some people would argue they've always been a fraught duo. So Hall seems to enjoy doing interviews where he complains that he doesn't like being constantly coupled to Oates. And he sees himself as, he resents the idea that it's a duo. He thinks that they've always been a business partnership, but they're not a creative partnership. So I guess this is perhaps, I don't know. Part of me thinks that there's actually quite a long history of duos who often have this where they're quite separate lives outside of performance, and yet audiences need them to be perpetually coupled and want them to be friends because you're buying into that magic of you know, 50 years of performing together, when in fact it doesn't seem like they necessarily, you know, like each other that much. And that's now morphed into, well, there's all the interviews Hall's been doing where he kind of hints that there's trouble in paradise. But just before Thanksgiving, he's taken out both a restraining order against Oates. And it was granted. So there's obviously got to be something there. And suing him for breach of contract. That part is where it gets a bit complicated. You and I have discussed lots of artists, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, Stevie Nicks, all selling their back catalogue of music to record companies. They're doing that because these are artists in their 70s. And in America, as related to tax law, you want to give your money to people while you're still alive rather than have them inherit it, because there they pay inheritance tax.
Oh, I see.
So all these artists want to be able to distribute their wealth before they die rather than wait till they die, because their inheritors or their benefactors will lose a whole chunk of money. So keep that in mind. Hall has been trying to sell his, sorry, Oates has been trying to sell his share of the partnership. Seemingly, Hall's been opposed.
Oh, okay. So why is it so hard, though, to find out definitively what's going on?
Good question, because normally you would have these unsealed. That could be, though, there might be something that is of people who are underage, potentially. Mm. Again, it doesn't necessarily... I'm not trying to imply anything at all here. So there's lots of reasons why things are sealed. Sometimes it'll mean if we name that person, then the identity of minors might come out as a result. But it is a strange thing, and so the internet is obsessed with this story, because why don't we know these details? If it's simply a breach of contract or a perceived breach of contract, why don't we have the details? Because that seems pretty standard. Mm. And why the restraining order?
They produce
because that's your physical. You know, generally it's because I'm in. You've threatened me.
Yeah.
You don't get a restraining order because of a business dispute, unless that business dispute has become physical.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosebourne from the University of Melbourne about the 80s music duo, well, I should say 70s and 80s music duo.
Yeah, 70s Hall and 80s.
And the mystery surrounding their fallout. Lauren, they produced a new album, I think it was 2006. There was a Christmas album. Everyone seems to do a Christmas album at some point, don't they?
Yeah, and they also announced that there was a new album coming out to COVID. They said there was going to be one this year. Hall, in yet another of his podcast interviews, says, well, when he agreed to that, that was a different world and that was pre-COVID. And he kind of downplayed that that was even announced, even though his record company or their record company had actually announced a new album was due. So that seems to have been, what's the word, hiatus. But I think this is also a signifier of their some of their creative differences. Both of them have not only released solo albums, which is not necessarily trouble in paradise. You know, you may have want to go in a different direction. You know, you might want your jazz album, for example.
Yeah.
But there's also they've gone on separate tours, and then you've got Hall doing these interviews sort of dissing the partnership as well, hinting that something's wrong.
I think, was it in an article that you sent me, said in an interview with GQ magazine, Oates said he and his collaborator had way more ups than downs.
Yes.
And it's actually a miracle. I'm actually shocked that we are able to still play together, and it's great. Do you think like this could all be a bit of a beat up and they're about to release a new album and perhaps go on tour?
Yeah, look, that's a possibility in the sense of creating a bit of hype, because I think, you know, for any artists that have been playing for over half a century together, you kind of need a bit of sizzle. Mm. But
yeah,
there is laws against having nonsense legal cases brought. So that's the only factor I'd say potentially sort of chips away at that idea is, yeah, trouble in paradise perhaps as a sort of marketing stunt, but you don't bring the court into it, because I think it's vexatious litigant is the term that they use. You can't use the courts as part of a publicity stunt because you'll get fined. Now, maybe the fine is still worth it in a marketing perspective. I don't know. And look, I think that idea of sort of trouble brewing has been used before with Come Back Tours. I think Fleetwood Mac's entire brand has been hinged to cocaine and tumultuous relationships for, you know, half a century, and that's part of the reason we love them. Hall & Oates hasn't quite had that Fleetwood Mac, like, you know, aspect to it, but nonetheless, it does make for an interesting story, and look, maybe we'll get a Netflix series out of it, Warren.
Oh, that's true. Lauren, great to chat with you. We'll talk to you next week. That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosebourne from the University of Melbourne. Here they are.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.